Happy Feast Day. Today is the manifestation of Jesus Christ to all of us, a statement of the Lord's presence in this world, not only as a fulfillment of the covenant with the Jews, but a fulfillment of the relationship of God to all. And so in reality, this is a happy feast day for all of us. I can't help tell you, I was reminiscing in the back of the church, because it was a year ago today that I was knocking on the doors of this cathedral, hoping that someone would let me in, for the evening Vesper service for the installation of myself as the new 11th Bishop, Archbishop of Milwaukee. And I can tell you that it has been true to form. The doors have been a place of welcome for those who are seeking the Lord. And I found those doors to be opened in the hearts of the priests and the faithful of this archdiocese. And for that, I thank you. Although there was another door this morning that almost kept me from coming here and celebrating the Mass. When I got into the car, I hit the electric car door opener, and it only went up about a foot. And I looked, and luckily I looked through the rearview mirror before I was backing out, because I would have been a little accident of the Archbishop. But no, I looked and it didn't open up, so I hit it again, and of course it didn't open up again. Well, I got out of the door. I kind of hit the button, which happened to be on the far side of the wall, and the door on the other side, and it opened up a little bit. And now I was in a dilemma. How do I get from there to the other point? And so it looked very much like either a Marx Brothers comedy, where I would hit the garage door opener, try to run over and miss it by just a little bit. So then I knew I had to run a little bit faster, so I hit the car door opener and kind of ran back, and I got it up a little bit more of the way. And of course, this transpired for the next about 10 to 15 minutes until I was able to kind of hit it and get it up all the way, you know, famous Houseman commercial is, I did it the old-fashioned way. I used muscle and elbow grease to get that door open, and I was able to get the car out and come over here. Well, you know, there was a lesson that God was saying. If there are things that are important to do, we find ways to do them. We overcome any kind of obstacle, and we find ways to achieve it. Well, we were talking about Epiphany this morning. Some might say this is the celebration of the global positioning system, you know, where you have suddenly the stars guiding the three magi. You know, you have that sense. But it is basically a journey. It's a quest that Matthew is talking about. It's a quest. And I venture to tell you that this quest is both external and internal. It's a quest that all of us participate in, but it's given in terms of an example of the three kings. And interestingly, there was one of the three astronauts on Apollo 11, Ed Aldrin, after they splashed down to Earth, you know, as would happen in any kind of great event, they're sent over as goodwill ambassadors, and they visited some 23 countries. And in his book, Ed Aldrin, Return to Earth, comments about one special visit that he had. And that visit was with His Holiness Paul VI. And he said that what struck him about the relationship with His Holiness is the gift that was given by His Holiness to these three individuals who made a journey. The journey, obviously, to the moon. And Ed Aldrin says, His Holiness unveiled three magnificent porcelain statues of the three wise men. He said that these three men were directed to the infant Christ by looking at the stars, and that we, the three astronauts, also reached our destination by looking at the stars. It's light that guides us, no doubt, to a deeper mystery, to a deeper understanding. And here we have literally the three kings seeking a response to the star, the star which gives them a sign from God, a sign outside of themselves to seek. And they do. They follow that guidance until they are brought to a child in a manger, a child in poverty. These three wise men, by all the actions of the world, by all the understandings of the world, should have stepped back and said, "This is ridiculous. Led all this way, over hundreds of miles, to come and see a child in a manger in utter poverty, and to acknowledge that child as a manifestation of God?" And yet, in their journey, following the signs and being true to their journey, they did not allow the distractions of the world to pull them away from the truth. Huh? It was not the way they would certainly have envisioned a king, not the way they would have envisioned suddenly God coming into the world and manifesting himself, but it was the truth. It was the truth in its simplicity, and it was the truth in its love. And then they listened to the internal calls of God as they were directed away from those who would try to destroy that presence of Christ in the world, obviously Herod, who represented that. And they followed literally the internal message and the call to return. And that's all that we hear about the three kings. We never hear about them again. We are never encountering them ever in the Gospels. This is just this one little piece. Some talk in terms of the great story that Matthew placed in there. But I rather think in terms of the sense of the relationship to all of us on the journey that all of us take. When I say there's two journeys, there is. There's the external journey of the three kings, but there's the internal journey of all of us. In the longing of every person, every human being on this planet, there is a longing to connect with the divine. It's placed within us from the very beginning of our creation. God manifests himself in us. We are called to look at each other in the Imago Dei, the image of God. And here that image was placed in the child Jesus in its simplicity. In our internal longings, we seek to take that journey that's necessary to make our movements towards the Christ child, towards the love of God in this world. And we have to be open, like the Magi, not to be distracted by what the world would impose upon us, but by what our Lord is manifesting and our God in our hearts. And then we have to continue to open ourselves to listen to the voice of the Lord. To listen to the voice of the Lord. To understand that we must avoid those that would destroy the presence of Christ's love in this world. Destroy it by word or by example. And then we ourselves must carry that banner. The three kings brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gold for the power that's vested in the world. Frankincense for the sense of the divine in terms of worship. And myrrh, a sign of the frailty and mortality of us all. The three gifts given to Christ was a reminder of the power of God, his divinity, but also his humanity. For the myrrh would be used in terms of preparing the body for death. Understand the three gifts that we bring to the Lord, an understanding of the power that he has in our own life, a celebration of Jesus Christ, true God, and a recognition that he is true man, and through the sacrifice of his death, his great gift to us has been given. A reestablishment of our relationship with God. Close with a prayer that was offered by an anonymous Christian writer about the practical message of the Epiphany. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back in the flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To feed the hungry, to release the prisoners, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music with the heart. My dear friends, let us together sing the song of Christ's love as we embrace our new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.